All right, well, I want to invite you to prayer. Our Father, we want to humble ourselves at this time, and we want to say that it is you who we want to teach. It is you who we want to hear from, and Lord, it is your word that we want to hear. Lord, apart from your Spirit being here this morning, it is fruitless. And we recognize that. So we invite your Spirit to take over, to teach us, to lead us into all truth. And Lord, we know that there is nothing good that comes apart from your Spirit. So lead us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know we go on a marriage conference, my wife and I, every year. And it's through a group called Family Life. And this year, as we went to the conference, they asked us before we went on the cruise to do something special, and that was to send them something. And I want to show you a picture of a project they had for the week. And I know it's not too terribly clear for you to see, but if you zoom out a bit, Stacy, you'll see it was a picture of a landscape of a lighthouse and a cliff and the ocean. And then it has a saying there on the screen. And what we were asked to do is to be a part of this picture. And if you zoom in, what you can see is that there are tiny pictures making up this one grand picture. And I know that you can't see from your seat very clearly, but this is what is called a what? Anybody got the word? Starts with an M? It's a mosaic. That's exactly right. And mosaic is that lots of little parts are making up a bigger picture. And you may have seen it in stained glass at times, with little fragmented pieces of glass make up a picture of Jesus and the lion or the lamb. Here we have one illustration of how we, as each couple, was asked to send their wedding picture. And so each one of these pictures making up this mosaic are the 3,000 couples that were on the boat with us. They are the picture, wedding pictures, making up a grand picture. I want to use the illustration of a mosaic this morning to communicate an idea that your worldview, your understanding of how the world works, is made up of little nuggets of truth that make up a bigger picture. And last week, we looked at the word stoicheion. It's a Greek word which means the building blocks. And we talked about Legos and how they're building blocks. This is another illustration for us to understand that every little thing that you believe is a part of something bigger that you believe. And this year, as a church, my hope for us is that we examine the little things that we believe, because the little things that we believe end up painting a picture for us. And they paint a picture of how we understand and what we understand to be true. Your understanding of what is true guides your daily life. What you believe to be pleasing is what you're going to pursue in your life. And if you believe that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is right, whatever is pure, think about these things, as Paul said. These are the things you're going to pursue in your life. And I want to challenge you, and I challenged you last week, the end of the message, to examine the truth claims that you have in your life, to examine everything that you're thinking, this is true, and say, does this line up with what the Scripture teaches us? Does this line up with what the Bible teaches us as true? And as they come together, you will see that all of your ideas come together to form a worldview. And this grand picture, this grand landscape, is your worldview. And it's what you use to interpret everything that happens in the world. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Last week, we looked at again, the word stoicheion, which means building blocks. We looked in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, which says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil? This week we get into another passage of scripture, and if you've turned there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We looked at this verse for the last few weeks on spiritual warfare, and it says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." This is our focus on our war is of ideas and truths that we gather. And it's not of swords and shields. It's of ideas. It's not according to the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." We are battling. We are in a daily battle for truth, against arguments and opinions raised against the truth of what God has given us. So take every thought captive. In other words, examine every thought. Take control of your thoughts to obey Christ. Don't let your thoughts control you. You control by the Spirit of God and make them captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete or made perfect. We looked at another verse last week, Colossians 2. "See to it that no one take you captive by" what? "Philosophies," or empty deceits, or empty lies. Don't get caught. Don't be taken captive by systems of philosophies. And look, just because it doesn't come in a philosophy book doesn't mean it's not trying to convince you of something. The media and the entertainment industries and advertising and everything out there is trying to get us to believe certain things. For instance, what's the big thing in the news this week? Coronavirus. And depending on who you listen to is the story you get. Have y'all seen it? It might be the end of the world, or it might be all a lie, depending on who you listen to. Because what's true? What is the truth? Probably somewhere in between, right? You take the extremes and you probably go somewhere in between. But this is it. You're getting things. You're getting philosophies. And that's a philosophy sent to you. This is how you need to live because of this virus. This is what you need to do because of this virus. And you have all these people telling you this is what you need to do. And we're receiving this as a Christian. Do we act differently than a non-Christian based on coronavirus? Should we act differently? Do we think differently? These are things that you need to think about. See to it that no one take you captive and control you because of philosophies and empty deceits, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world. And the elemental spirits was that stoicheion word we looked at, the building blocks of trying to get you to understand the way things work. Another illustration I could give you is this. Phonics. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. Certain cultures don't have certain sounds. When I go to Haiti, I don't say my name is Keith. I tell them my name is Keith, because they don't have a TH sound that we normally have down there. So I just go ahead and tell them. I avoid the confusion. My name is Keith. And they all know me as Keith. And that's fine, because they don't have that sound. Phonics are building blocks for a language and for words. And these elemental ideas, these stoicheion, are things that we understand to be true that guide our daily life and our daily thinking and our daily decision-making process. As you grab onto things, here it is, Christian, here's how you think differently. As you grab onto things, make sure you're grabbing onto the truth of God as your foundation. Does the Bible say anything about what I am supposed to eat or drink, or what I'm supposed to spend my money on, or what movies I'm supposed to go see, or how I'm supposed to act at a football game, or if I'm supposed to go be a participant in this particular event, or this wedding, or go to this party, or this kinds of parties. Does the Bible say anything about what's supposed to drive my behavior before I just make that decision? These are the stoicheion, the building blocks of our lives and our worldview. Let me give you a few words and then we'll move on to new territory. But I feel like this is very important for us to know. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles. And that's that word, the building blocks, the stoicheion of the world. When we were immature, we thought like the world is what Paul is saying. Verse 9, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and the worthless building blocks, stoicheion of the world? Don't go back to thinking like the world. Think like a Christian. Jimmy, what's our verse? Romans 12, 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is Christian life. We must be thinking differently. And finally, in Hebrews 5, 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be mature, you need someone to teach you again the basic building blocks, the stoicheia of the oracles of God. You need to go back to milk, not solid food, because you're not thinking like a mature Christian. So let me stop here and say, this is where I challenged you last week, to examine your thoughts. Examine your beliefs and say, do they line up with what the Bible teaches? If they don't, then guess where the problem is? And I'll give you a little hint. It's not with the Bible. It's not with the Word of God. The Bible teaches us how to think. We must be willing. So, as we move on, our passage of Scripture this week is 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 22. Here's my question for you. How do you know what your building blocks are? How do you know what you believe? How do you know? How do you know if you're living by the Bible? How do you know? Is it because you go to church every week? Or because you go to church from time to time? Or because you said a prayer today or yesterday? How do you know that you believe what the Bible wants us to believe, what God wants us to believe? How do you know if anybody else is believing what they need to believe? Let's read 2 Timothy. So, flee youthful or immature. So, flee youthful or immature passions and pursue what? Help me out. And pursue what?
Righteousness.
Faith, love, and peace. Along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So, in other words, there are people who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Be like those people, because they are pursuing, tell me, what? Righteousness? What else? What else? What else? All right. They're pursuing these godly things. Verse 23. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. And these are the debating ideas that are bouncing around in the world, and the world that Timothy was in Ephesus. Remember, Ephesus was a capital city for the goddess. And they would, great is Artemis. They would even chant in the book of Acts. We have a great chanting, great is Artemis. And they had these statues, and a big part of their world was Artemis and what the goddess of love would do. And she would, how they made sacrifices, and they would have statues, and they had a whole industry built around their temple of Artemis. And so Paul is talking to Timothy, who's a pastor in Ephesus. And he's saying, look, Timothy, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies, debating ideas that are going around in Ephesus, because you know they breed quarrels. They just cause fights. These ideas, they just cause arguments. Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. You see that? If you want to be a servant of God, you're not fighting over everything. You're a man, a woman who knows what's true. You stand by what is righteous. You stand in faith and love and peace. You're pursuing these things. And you're not arguing and fussing about everything. You're just stating the truth. Now, I'm not saying we never debate ideas, but I'm saying you're not quarrelsome in the fact that you're just fussing and fighting with everybody all the time. You can debate ideas without being a quarreler. And this is Paul's advice to Timothy. Don't be quarrelsome. Don't be quarrelsome, but be kind to everybody. When you're debating ideas, do it in a kind way. Be able to teach, patiently enduring evil and correcting his opponents with gentleness. So here's a question for you. If you are to be a servant of God, according to verse 24 and 25, what do you need to be able to do? So Christian, if you want to be a servant of God, what do you need to be able to do? And look at verse, go back one verse for me, Miss Stacy, to verse 24. What do you need to be able to do? And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. You want to be God's servant, don't be a quarreler. But secondly, but be kind to people. Thirdly, be able to what? To teach. If you don't know it, you can't teach it. So do Christians and leaders, Christian leaders, need to be able to know what the Word of God says? Absolutely. How can you teach people what the Bible says unless you know it yourself? This is why studying God's Word is so important. My grandfather, before he passed away, every time we go to his house, and we said this during a funeral, every time you go to his house, he'd say, "Son, what are you studying?" He always wanted to know, what were we studying? And that was his way of encouraging us to make sure that you're always studying. Because he's going to ask you, what are you studying? Where you need to be able to teach, patiently enduring evil. And look at verse 25. What does a servant of the Lord need to be able to do? Correct opponents with gentleness. Sometimes as Christians, we feel like we need to always just close our mouths and not disagree. And I will say that there certainly is a time for that. But there is also a time to open your mouth and correct with gentleness. Christian wisdom tells you what time is for what. Sometimes it's time to just shut your mouth and not say a word. But oftentimes, well, I say this, depending on your personality, that might be the harder of the two. But for some people, the harder of the two is to actually open your mouth and correct false teachings and false ideas in a gentle way. And I'll leave that up to you to learn that wisdom of when you do what. But there needs to be a little of both for us. We need to hear ideas that are coming in, and we need to know how to respond to them properly if we are to be a servant of the Lord. Do you want to be a servant of the Lord? Watch what happens, though, next. This is our part. We've seen in verse 24 and 25 what the servant of the Lord is calling, or what the servant of the Lord will do. Are y'all still with me this morning? Y'all still with me? Okay. The servant of the Lord does these things. And then look what happens. God has his part too. So the servant of the Lord is to speak the truth, to be kind, not be quarrelsome, to correct with gentleness, to do these things that the servant of the Lord would do. And then God has a part in all this. God may perhaps do what? God may perhaps grant them repentance. And we've talked about that word repentance, metanoia. It's a changing of mind. It's literally what the word means. Meta, change, noia, knowledge. Changing your mind. God may perhaps change people's minds because of what? Because God's people don't do anything? No. How does the Lord change people's minds? Look at the context. Context matters. Look at verse 24 and 25. The servant of the Lord is doing what the servant of the Lord does. He's kind. He corrects with gentleness. He's not quarrelsome. He's not giving himself to these foolish controversies. He's talking about what really matters. Having conversations that really matter. And then, what is the Lord doing? He's giving people repenting. He's changing people's minds. Yeah. He's changing people's minds. I want to make sure we understand this. As the Lord's servant does his part, the Lord does his part. He's using you, servant, Christian, to do your part. But don't expect him to do his part if what? If you're not doing your part. If you're praying for a family member to be saved, which I hope that you are, you're praying for salvation for a family member, a friend, a co-worker. If you're not doing your part, please don't expect God to do his part. We must be doing our part in salvation. And that is speaking the truth, correcting false ideas, having conversations that matter with people, that God might grant them repentance leading to a what? Knowledge of the truth. How are they going to know what's true if God's people don't speak the truth? You get it? How are you going to speak the truth if you don't know the truth? So I'll ask you, like Pop would say, son, daughter, what are you studying? Are you learning the truth? Are you building up your mosaic of truth? As we would walk by on the boat throughout the week, they would say, you know, whenever you want to, stop by and find your sticker, your picture. They printed out all of our wedding pictures and then stick it on your numbered slot. And it was a grid. They had A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they said, you're in A 12. So you'd go here, A 12, and then you'd put your sticker on A 12. And then the next couple would be J25. They put their sticker in. And you could watch. And every time you'd pass the board throughout the week, you'd watch the mosaic started filling in picture by picture by picture by picture. By the end of the week, if you hadn't been by the board, they just stuck your picture on. And the last night, they presented the mosaic as this is complete now. This is finished. And it was what you saw, the saying and the Bible verse and the saying and the lighthouse and the rocks and the ocean. It was all complete. Christian, if you are not building up your mosaic of truth, how can the world, how can your family member, how can your coworkers, how can your friends, how can they see who God is if we're not able to communicate that? And this is a call to us to be faithful, to understand what our part is in bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to others. And I'm not saying you have to know every single thing and be a PhD or a THD, a doctor of theology. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we need to know how to clearly combat the ideas of the world in order to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Let me go back to the verse we looked at last week and read it for you. It's Colossians chapter 2. I want to read it to you again in light of what we're talking about, building our mosaic of truth and be able to communicate. Watch this. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophies and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the stoicheia, the elemental spirits of the world. Verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all and the rule and authority. And you have been, what does it say? Filled in him. As you're trying to fill in your mosaic, as you're trying to understand and comprehend what's true and right, guess who is going to be there to fill you up? The Spirit of God. It may be a daunting task for you to try to study God's Word. But let me give you comfort. Let me give you hope. The Spirit of God is your teacher. Am I right, Hilton? The Spirit of God is there to help you in your weakness. And the Spirit of God provides Christian brothers and sisters. He provides Sunday school teachers. He provides discipleship teachers. He provides pastors. He provides people to help fill you with the Word of God and the knowledge of God. But I want to tell you this. It takes effort on your part. It takes getting up for Sunday school so that you can learn what the Word of God says. It takes opening your Bible or going out and buying a good study Bible with notes. It takes effort on your part for the Spirit of God to move in your soul. How many of y'all enjoyed school growing up? You liked going to school. I liked going to class. All right. How many of you said I despised going to school, did not want to do it? Raise your hand, Eli. All right. Schooling doesn't just happen. Last night, Eli, he had a paper to write. And Eli, did that paper just appear on your computer? Did it just appear there? No, he spent a couple of hours working through some ideas, typing out something. Had this paper, and he got to how many? 990 words. And he came and he read it to us, and it was a short story. And it was really good. I enjoyed hearing it. But it took effort, and it took a lot of, I don't want to do this. Why do I have to do school? I don't like school. I don't want to do this. It took a lot of that, and then he finally sat down and started typing, and then it appeared at the work that he had put in, and then he had something. It was nice, and it was good. Christian, to build your mosaic, it doesn't just appear. Each couple had to walk up, get their sticker, and stick it on the board. And if they didn't show up, somebody else had to do the work because it wasn't just going to appear. You can be filled with the knowledge of God. You can be filled in Him. Let me tell you something else. If you go far east and you go into the Eastern religions, they're going to say, what you need to do is empty yourself of all of your thoughts. Find your happy place. And if you can empty yourself enough, you'll reach this state of perfection. Empty yourself. What does the scripture say? What does the Word of God say? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Christianity is not about emptying. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me go back to our verse in 2 Timothy, and I'm jumping backwards, Stacy. Let me read to you verse 26. We're called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me read 25 to get you back into it, though. Correct them with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them, what? A change of mind. Repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses. They may come to their senses. They might become, and literally here, the word means become sober. When you're drunk, you're not thinking right. You're inebriated. You're under the influence of alcohol. This says that they might come to their senses. They might be sober-minded. And wake up and escape the snare of what? The devil. Week four, we're in spiritual warfare. And escape the snare of the devil. How do we battle those who are... You know that bear trap? You've seen it? I've seen it in the cartoons. It's got a big circle thing. And it's got something in the middle. And then they go and they step on it. And whah, it traps them. And this is the idea. You're ensnared by the devil. You're trapped by one of his wiles. When you're believing lies. Because the father of lies wants you to believe what? Lies. And all of a sudden here comes a Christian speaking the truth of God's word, saying, be filled with the Spirit of God. You can know the truth and you can get out of this trap that's got you and snared by the devil after being captured by him to do what? You see, here's what the father of lies does. Jesus called him the father of lies, you know. Here's what the father of lies does. He captures you with an idea. He captures you with an idea that keeps you from knowing the truth. Oh, think about it. How many ideas, how many lies do you speak? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go to school growing up? Why do you have to go to school? I'm never going to use this stuff. Why do I have to be a part of this? It's not going to make sense. It's so hard. And then you start to do it and study. You get through and you realize, oh, well, I actually do use this stuff. And school was worthwhile because it got me where I am today. But you believe lies and then you get upset about it and it keeps you from doing the will of God. And this is what Satan does. He keeps you from doing the will of God by believing lies that trap you. Do you see the progress there? You are doing the will of Satan. Jesus told the Jewish leaders, you are doing the will of your father, the devil. Because you're believing the lies that Jesus isn't the Son of God. You're doing the will because you're believing the lies. And Jesus came with the truth and they wouldn't believe the truth. So Christian, what's your job? Well, our job's to do what Jesus did. I opened up this year with a passage of scripture of Jesus before Pilate. For this reason, I was born, and for this reason, I've come into this world. And Jesus said, was what? To bear witness to the truth. So Christian, here you are. We bear witness to the truth. People hear the truth. God can bring metanoia, change of mind, repentance. And the trap, the snare that the devil has on people can fall away. And they will no longer do the will of the devil, but the will of God. Because we bring the truth. So, what have you been studying? How are you learning to know the truth so that you can share the light of the world, so that you can share the truth of God with a world that needs to hear it? I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray for you, I want you to think about this deeply. The church is not a place where we come just to get through a service or to show people things or to have fun, be entertained. The church is a place to equip you. My job as a pastor is to equip the saints to do the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, and the grand truth that Jesus came to bear witness is that he would die for sinners, that he would be buried and rise again to save all of those who would repent of their sin and believe in him. And that gospel truth is what can save the chief of sinners, the worst of all sinners. So Christian, we start there. Jesus saves, but Jesus has more to do with us than just to merely save us. He wants to use us to bring light into this world. And I want to ask you, are you willing to be equipped? Are you willing to be someone that will go into this world and proclaim the mosaic of truth, proclaim that landscape that Jesus does save, and that God has a grand purpose for you and for this world? Let me pray for you. Father, teach us the truth. Lead us into truth. We know your word is truth. Sanctify us in the truth, Lord. Set us apart in the truth. Build our worldview. Give us wisdom and knowledge. Create in us a pure heart, O God. And renew in us a steadfast spirit. So that we can be equipped and we can be your servants here in the world to bring the message that Jesus saves. To bring the message that Jesus is life. That Jesus is hope. That Jesus is true. Oh Lord, help us. Help us be your servants here, Lord. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.